Chapter 8. Spoiler. A Gift in December by Jenny Gladwell. This chapter is where we highlight our favorite quotes and elaborate on them, as well as relating to the characters and reflecting our own experiences and feelings, and then ending this chapter with a heartfelt question of what does a gift in December mean to you? My name is Nesma. Turn the page.
Welcome to a new chapter of Between the Pages. I'm Haneen.
And I'm Nesma.
This is the spoiler part of A Gift in December by Jenny Gladwell. In this part, we're going to go through the book, through our favorite parts in the book, and talk about them, say our thoughts when we were reading them.
Yeah.
I don't know, like,
we have a lot of highlighted quotes, so, you know, just bear with us.
Yes, and bookmarked pages.
A lot of them.
Yes, and a lot that we saw coming, and we loved that, but, like, yeah.
All right, shall we get into it?
Let's go. I mean, like, from the very first chapter, there was this part of Jane reading the press release, and I felt, now I know the journey I'm going to go in. And with each part she read about the ball, the dinners, the cutting down of the tree, I know something interesting will happen in each of these settings.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to know, you know? Like, I want to know what's going to happen.
We were introduced to the settings before we were there. And then when we were there, we were like, ooh, what's going to happen here?
And by the way, I feel so spoiled after this journey. Like, it's like, I felt like I was there at the many courses dinners. And
you know, like you were a kid in a candy store, you know, like, we finally got what we wanted as readers. You know, we never get what we want most of the time. You know, always, the writers always need to add a twist, a turn, something that complicates the plot. But, you know, here we have the whole easy turnout of events and, you know, it's kind of fun to read, you know, like a small change.
Yeah.
We deserve this from time to time as readers.
And, like, before going to each part, I think we should comment on the prologue where, like, there was Thomas, Thomas. We totally forgot about that.
We forgot about that one.
We just concentrated with Jane, Philip, and Ben, and, like,
Right.
Thomas and what was her name?
Merritt.
Merritt, yes.
Or Marriott, as her real name is.
No, her real name was Margaret.
Margaret, sorry.
Margaret.
Margaret.
Merritt. You know when
it was in Nibersgund, Norway, 11th April 1940, which is like the end of, no, sorry, the beginning. The beginning of World War II.
Yes, and the king was leaving the country. It was like the moment of him leaving.
Yeah.
And, like, then he was like,
she was saying to tell him, like, you have to leave, and I know everything's gonna be okay and something,
all right, or something like that.
Something in that context.
The moment she appeared, and he described her, the first thing that came to my mind is that she's one of the king's family, royal family. And, like, he fell in love with her. And, like, I thought it was this type of story, you know? First thing.
She turned out to be a spy.
Yeah. Actually, she's very interesting, though. She's, like, the background. She's a background character, she's very interesting.
Imagine sacrificing your life, sacrificing something for a bigger purpose, you know, something that's bigger than you and everything around you, you know?
Yeah.
Something, you know, your life has purpose. You know, your life has meaning and will save someone else's.
Yes. And then she wants her story to be told. That's the whole thing, you know.
And then they accidentally fell in love, even though their love letters weren't supposed to be love letters. That was funny. I thought that was hilarious. And romantic.
I mean, about that.
We just jumped to the very end of the story.
not the end. I mean, the part where like, do something that is bigger than you and stuff. I don't know. I always read, like The Hunger Games, Divergent, I don't know, every other big story or even wartime story, you want to feel this in real life, but hopefully you don't.
No.
Because that's terrible, you know, they went through, even if it's dystopian or in the past. It's terrible. But at the same time, you ask yourself, do you have that backbone, you know?
Yeah. Would you do what they did?
Would you sacrifice all of this, you know?
Yes. You know, I always thought about that. Wow, this is a very deep topic. You know, I always thought about, would I give my life for my country, or would I give my life for another person? I guess when it comes down to it, you wouldn't ask yourself this question. I think you would just act. Hmm. You know, you wouldn't even second guess. If you if it's family, if it's someone you truly love, even if it's someone you don't know, I think our human, like, we are wired, I think, not to as let humans, people... Yes. down, unless you're a psychopath, I guess.
Or a sociopath,
I guess.
Sure, look, I'm high-functioning sociopath.
But I mean, it's kind of a wonderful... I mean, that's where poetry and literature and all these great works of art come from, you know? Even paintings and music pieces... You know, they come through these tough times. They come through, they're inspired through trauma.
It's
like
the best literature, the best films, the best
things that were ever made are through the human pain. And it's like, that's where the production of something beautiful comes out, you know? Like something bad has to happen, so you'll have the rainbow at the end, you know?
Yes.
So,
because what's the meaning of the good
if there things isn't in the life? Bad, yeah.
I mean, this is...
That's the cliche quote. Yeah. Thank you for making it cheesy.
I'm gonna make it more cheesy right now. I mean, a lot of Jane thoughts and recounts of the events that happened before with Simon, or of what's happening now even. I don't know. I don't know why I relate it to... when someone is having a crush, you know, on someone else, or is attracted to someone who is into him or not into them. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I kept thinking the whole way through the book that this is so true to someone who is, like, attracted to someone else, and that someone else isn't even...
returning the affection?
Yes, or no, you know? It's like...
or even know you exist.
Yeah. But in this book, I didn't feel alone in that, you know?
Yeah.
Jane had this uncertainty of, like, whether the other person likes her or not, or whether her feelings are real or not, or whether, and like, a lot of questions that went into that. So I guess while reading things, I highlighted them just because I felt them, you know?
Yeah.
So,
like what?
Like,
give us an example.
Something as simple as when she was just choosing her outfits when she was going to work, like when Simon would see her or something.
Oh, like trying to impress him?
Yes. We do that unconsciously.
That's true.
You know, we just do this extra thing. And sometimes I let myself get attracted to someone, so I take care of myself just for fun.
Wow. But talk about psychopaths.
You know, I tell myself, since it's all in my head,
it's not real.
It's not real. So I can just, like, make use of it and dress nicely and plan my outfits.
That's a great usage of your time.
Yeah. And yes, I like the integration of the modern element, like, of our modern time, with love and crushes and love interests, and like hear this. I don't even remember who was saying it, but, like, give me this. Until you're of sound mind, I'm removing Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all the torture devices, and I'm blocking his number. She glanced over, okay? I think that was...
Margot.
Who sent that. Jane, yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's true. They are torture devices.
Yes.
Yes, you keep on, like, checking their posts. You know what? I had this thing where I was like, please, someone, write a book about analyzing social media posts of your crushes. to know what they're actually thinking and whether they're posting this because of you or not.
Wow.
I have it bad.
Okay, so I found a quote, or more like a tiny paragraph, that I found pretty much sums up Jane's, like, whole journey, or not journey, but like her, the idea of what she's gonna go through, you know? So it said here, the contrast between her experience in Norway and her life in London, okay? Mm-hmm. She grinned, imagining what she would be doing right now in London, trudging out of the underground, hot, sweaty, and irritable, to spend the rest of the day staring at her screen and avoiding Simon. Instead, she was descending over an unknown city, rich with history, for a luxurious, all-expenses-paid trip. And her only challenge was to do something outrageous. It's like this...
You wish.
This perfect contrast, you know, like... Mm. It shows you the contrast of what she feels like of her life in London. You know, like, even the words hot, sweaty, and irritable, you know? Yeah. And then the contrasting words with unknown city, history, and luxurious trip and all the, like, you know?
Yes. It makes you think London isn't so much different from Cairo or any other big city, you know?
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
I mean... All capitals are like that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I always forget that we live in a capital.
Wow.
I always forget that. You know, like, you know, they always fancy the people who live in the capital. And I always forget that we are actually in a capital. You know, like Berlin, Germany has Berlin, England has London, France has Paris. And it's like, I always forget that we are cool too, you know?
Yeah. And like, I have this comment where she would avoid all men. I was like, yeah, right. I mean, that was it before the trip, or like when she was going on the trip. It's always your first instinct after, I imagine, after a breakup or something, that you will avoid all men. They're all bad, you know?
They're all horrible. You know, that's one of the clues, you know? That's like one of the tiny clues. I will avoid all men. Yeah, right. That's not going to happen. Even there was this one quote that I found in chapter 5. It was true. He reminded her of someone, and that someone, she realized, was Simon. Smart, handsome, a lethal combination. You know? And it's like... That's, like, literally prone for disaster, because you know you broke up with Simon. Simon was bad for you, so why would you want to date someone or have a fling with someone who's exactly like your ex? Like, seriously.
Exactly. My same thought. No, like,
that's not good.
You know when you just want to do something bad? And, like, you want to sabotage yourself or something. I don't know. Like, you want to get back at yourself, though it's not your fault, but, like...
Yes, yes.
You want to get back at yourself.
Okay. So, there's this one interesting thing that I really want to talk about in this novel, is that, you know, we have the job... Jane's job is a journalist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we know how we have some stereotypical things about journalists that we see in movies that are portrayed as these ambitious people who don't care about other people's feelings, who just care about getting the story, who, in fact, will do anything in their power to receive the information that they need for getting that... Mm-hmm. story,
and that the, like, industry takes out their morality and ethical sense,
and this ethical sense, exactly. And it's like this whole idea of a race, you know, who gets the story first, who gets to achieve the best articles, and who is Msharfa'i, and it all is all combined to their career, you know. The better the article, the higher their responses, the better the outcome, the more money they will get. And it's all just one vicious cycle. And I think...
Keeping here, the advertisers.
Yeah. And I think they broke some stereotypes, and she also met a lot of the stereotypes. Like, for example...
Nick.
We can see Nick and Philip and Jane.
Mm.
Philip is the exact portrayal of what a journalist is in the bad sense. You know? Vicious, ruthless, in a way, very, very sneaky.
I want to get back to my journalistic roots.
Yeah.
We know your journalistic roots now.
Very, very sneaky in a way. He uses Jane in order to get the story. Mm. And that's exactly what the stereotype of a journalist is, you know, like cold-hearted and doesn't care about any person's feelings. And he just wants
to win. That's the stereotype we know. But Jane, reality has other shades, you know?
And Jane here has the perfect portrayal of the good side of a journalist. Like, she has the ambition. She has, like, this ticking thing in the back of her head that tells her, like, I'm a journalist. I need to get to the bottom of this. And in a good way, because any other person would have just given up on the story, you know? They could have just said, all right, I tried to look for her. I didn't find her, whatever. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But she uses those journalistic instincts for her advantage, you know?
She's a storyteller as well, and she loves stories.
Yes.
And that's
she waited to take it, Thomas's permission, for example. Mm-hmm. She waited. She wanted to take it step by step. She didn't just steal the letters and use them for her own gain, you know? She waited, and she took it everything. She respected Thomas's feelings, and she took them in regard and waited for him to give her the yes so she can use it. Okay, and she lets the people around her help her as well. You know, she's maybe a little naive, but also optimistic and nice in a way. Because I think that's also a stereotype that goes with journalists, is that they don't trust the people around them. Because they always think that people are out to get them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because of the stories, you know.
Yeah.
She trusted Philip, even though she shouldn't have. She believed in the good in him. And she took him along with her. She played her so hard.
Like, this sprinkles of vulnerability that drew her in. That gives me another chance. He played it. I fell for it at the beginning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I have a perfect quote for what you were saying. You know, like the way she was fooled at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that he, you know, he's misunderstood and everything. So here goes. Philip in the role of heartless seducer, but it seemed he was the one who had been left scarred. You know, she thought that throughout all those articles that shamed him and put him in this bad light, she thought that there would be like this kind of layer that no one else knows about.
And he used those articles and bad reputation.
Yes. And she fell for it so badly that she thought she wanted to believe that, you know, when we as readers, we love layers. We love layers and characters, you know, like just layer after layer after layer, removing those layers and then like
onions.
Like onions. And then like finding this beautiful thing inside. I don't know, whatever it is. That was just a very weird picture in my head.
Analogy. I think it's a perfect analogy. It was an onion in the end, nothing in the middle.
So I'll just read you the note that I wrote underneath this quote, is that perfect example of it's not always what it looks like. The fact that he is misunderstood reveals a lot about his character and adds another layer to his personality. I mean, later on revealed that there's no layer at all and it's all fake, but that's like what I felt in the moment.
Mm.
And then I wrote, and oh, do we love the layers? You know, I always thought that, you know, he's like the bad boy who's misunderstood. But then when he's around the person he loves, he has this other thing that he doesn't show to other people, only to the people he loves. So he's actually,
that, don't we?
We love that. But we didn't get that here in the novel. So I guess. But back to her journalistic instincts, there was this thing that he said, Philip said to Jane, wait, I'll get it. he said, your journalistic antennae are twitching. You know, like...
Yes, I know, like that.
I love that sentence.
She's funny, Jenny.
Yeah.
Jenny Gladwell, I mean.
She is funny. She has a very good sense of humor.
And the other funny thing was the sports with sticks.
Yeah.
You told me about it.
That was a funny description. Wait, I got it. Pushing yourself up and down mountains with sticks. A silly sport. That's what Thomas said about skiing.
Yeah.
Even though he's Norwegian, and Norwegians are known for, you know, their skiing
skills.
Yeah.
Anyway, you wanted to say something about the journalistic.
I think I just wanted to say that it was her journalistic instincts that made her pursue the story for Thomas. And I think it was easy for Thomas to be surrounded by journalists, you know, for him to find what truly happened back then. And I think...
And the perfect person to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And she had the passion for it.
As a person, I think he saw in her the person who would understand and the intelligence. And like he chose the person, who she is, you know, not just the journalist. He chose Jane and her intelligence, like with the stamp thing. And,
yeah, exactly. So I have like two quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there was this one quote that she said, "One night of passion between two people poised on the brink of war. She wanted, she realized, to know what happened next." You know?
Yes, and that's then the story.
That's literally what drove her to find out what happened. So I said, like the notes underneath, is that clearly her journalistic instincts are kicking in. The need to get to the bottom of the story, you know? And that's the reason she takes the job, because this is what she does for a living. Hunting down leads and getting a good headline for an article, but also for her own curiosity. You know, she needs to feed that curiosity.
And that's what's important, you know? It's like, if you ask me, why do you make films? It's just because, like, I want to make films, you know? It's not like...
Because you want to tell a story. Yes. You want to find something that moves people, something that connects with you, you know? Like, something that you can read and feel emotions, that something that moves you inside. And I think that's what Jane is trying to do, you know? And there is the second quote. Okay, this is my favorite one. This is exactly what describes Jane, okay? Jane could feel a familiar excitement rising in her, the feeling she had when a story started to take shape. It would be different to her usual work, but the emotions of this story rooted in the past had captured her imagination. Merritt had captivated her. She still had so many questions, and she wanted to find the answers, you know?
It's basically every reader in the beginning of a book.
Yes. Yeah. I guess that's all I have to say about the journalistic part of Jane. But, you know, I think that's what, like, drove her. That's, like, the core of the story, you know? That's what keeps her going. That's what keeps her keep asking questions and finding everything out. And I guess for her, it didn't matter who was alongside her. I guess she loved it. She liked it when someone was experiencing it with her. And I guess for her demise or for her bad luck, it was Philip who was by her side during that discovery, you know? I guess she chose badly, but I guess the excitement of trying to find out what happened just swooped her up.
She chose the easiest person who would help Yanni.
Who'd help her.
Yes.
Yeah. She didn't even think of Ben, I guess. So the major thing that really bothered me with when Philip stole the story of Jane is that it felt like they made it seem like it's over, you know? But it's not. You know, what if just Jane took, like, the bad reputation of Philip and used it to her advantage, wrote an article roasting him and then telling her side of the story, you know? And even though Philip is very known for his bad reputation, people would believe her, you know? So it wouldn't just be, like, nagging or, like, saying bad things about a person. No, this person is known to have a bad reputation and she's, like... trashing him basically in an article and he deserves it, and then she tells her side of the story. It's like they made it seem like this is the end of the world, you know? Like Philip stole the article and then this is it, you know? No, this is not it,
you know? I kept checking how much is left in the book to know, like, is this the end, you know?
Yeah. No, it's like there could be more than one side to a story. Like the side Philip told is like the shallow side. There's a deeper side to the story. And I guess Jane should tell her own side. And she did, didn't she?
She did in the end.
She went to the bottom. She got to the bottom of the story. She removed
the stamp.
The stamp. Thank you. She removed the stamp from the letter. and she found the little micro photographs that she took of the Nazi camp or whatever that was. And she discovered that Marit was a spy, you know? And that is such a deeper layer to the story. And I guess that's a story worth telling. And it's not the end of the world that Philip stole the story, you know?
Yes.
There could be two articles of the same subject. One is better than the other. So why is that such a big deal that Philip stole the story? No, I would... What I would do is that I would strive to write a better one.
I don't know why she didn't do that right away.
I don't know. It's like, why was she waiting for?
Yes, why did she stall in Venice thinking, I helped Philip, everyone hates me. Why? Why not get up and write the story? Like, yeah. It should be written and, like, talk to Thomas more. Why didn't she take the chance that she was with Thomas and ask him the questions she wanted to know?
Yeah.
Since she knows he wants her to write the story anyway.
Exactly. So, I don't know what her boss Nadine was thinking when she found out that Philip had already wrote the article. Isn't that, like, I know maybe from her perspective it would seem like that one of her employees stole Philip's idea, you know, like that's what it would look like. Even yeah. though Philip is the one who stole yes. it.
Because he's the one who's famous and top rated.
He's the one who published it first, so it will look like Jane is copying him, you know. But I guess she has a voice, you know, that's why she's a journalist. She has a voice, she can tell her own side. People will believe her. Why would she lie in an article, you know?
Yeah.
And
she's credible.
Exactly. So she could tell her side of the story, say that this is what happened to me, that prick Philip stole whatever story I had. So let me tell my side. So I guess that's like the whole idea with the journalistic thing. I really liked it, you know, because it was something new, you know. The we know a lot of stereotypes about journalists, and Jenny Gladwell used them and broke them and portrayed them the way they are in real life, you know. And it was interesting because we are not in that niche. You know, yes. We don't know how things go
there. We just know the stereotypes.
We just know the stereotypes.
I mean, I studied a bit of journalism in uni.
Yeah, but we don't know, like, how the business goes.
Yes.
You know?
It's always the ideal, yeah, the ideal exactly. when you're studying. But when you're in the real practical. World, it's like
yeah,
a jungle.
It is, isn't it?
Okay, I think I'm more interested in the romantic side
yeah,
of this novel.
Of course.
Yeah. And I don't know, there was this thing that Philip said to Jane, and it was so romantic, but then I imagined someone saying it to me in real life when I've pretty, like, I've known him for a couple of days, and like, I'm, creepy. Like, okay. So what Philip said was, still, I'm not completely sorry we both had our hearts broken, not if it meant us ending up together. It's like, Okay, as Jane, that's very romantic. Like, as Jane in the moment, it's romantic. And, like, of course she would fall for that. But, like, imagine that in real life. It's so, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's too soon.
Too soon, yes. And again, the idea of too soon, what is too soon, or like to be intimate with someone or to fall in love, and like people keep like, what's the word for it? I don't know, when you say it was love at first sight, they like, they scoff at it, you know? It's like love at first sight, there is nothing as love at first sight, you know? Then when should you fall in love, you know? Philip did this thing where it creeped me out, or not. Like, it was endearing to Jane, but I think if it was in real life, I'd be creeped if someone said something like this at the beginning, like, when we still don't know each other or something.
Right? What did he say?
It was just here.
Tell me, woman, tell me. Don't just leave me hanging.
Oh, yeah, it was... Still, I'm not completely sorry. We both had our hearts broken. Not if it meant us ending up here. Jane could feel her pulse quickening as their eyes locked and held for the briefest of moments. Then Philip turned back to the road. Not even a little bit, he added. Though this is romantic.
Yeah.
But like, it's creepy.
Too soon.
Too soon, exactly.
Too soon. Or,
not too soon, but like,
But isn't like kind of the setting allowing them to make it too soon? You know, when you're like in a romantic getaway, it's just prone to happen, you know? Even if you don't know the person, it's like exactly what Margot said. Just have a fling with a stranger, you know? But I guess this is the bad side of it, of things.
Yeah. I don't know, Ma. That's where there's something I want to talk about. Does the amount of time matter? Like, is there a specific time where it is safe or not safe? I mean, we're supposed to fall in love with someone, you know? Like, they say you can fall in love with someone at first sight, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, in a day. Or then when, you know? Should I take years? I don't know. It's this, like, there's a big difference deal between falling in love and being in love.
Seriously?
Yes, there is. You know, I read this other novel where there was, like, they talked about this. It was like, she was like, I don't know, he made this statement, the guy, and he explained it in a way. Like, the girl had this birthmark on her forearm. And or on her wrist, and he was like, there is a difference between falling in love and being in love. And they were eating crepe, and like he took a smudge of Nutella and dabbed it on her wrist, and he was like, this is falling in love, it goes away, but being in love, it stains, you know, like the birthmark, it doesn't go away.
Aww.
And like, I'm like, okay, makes total sense. Jane found herself transfixed by his forearms, and he had a nice face. Jane suddenly realized, a face that grew on you. You know, it's how you know you like someone. It comes slowly. It's like the Fault in Our Stars, the famous quote where, like, I fell in love with him like falling asleep slowly and then all at once.
Yeah.
I believe this is so true. I feel like a person grows on you, you know? And that's how it was with Jane and Ben. Ben grew on her.
Through time, yeah.
Through time, yes. And she didn't realize it. And the setting was there. Philip was a huge distraction. But the setting was there, and that's what Ben turned out to be hoping for. The setting, he knows Norway, like,
yeah.
And like, you remember when she found him in the fog in the forest?
Yeah, yes.
And that was like, I was so happy that it turned out to be Ben and not Philip. It's like, I had this feeling, you know, she found him in his element. That's him owning his place, you know. That's yeah. Him. That's when she realized a lot of things about him, and she found that she has a thing for forearms. I don't know. And then you realize later on that Ben went on this trip to finally have his chance, and that he saw things other people didn't see in her for a long time, for years. And he's that quiet person who would keep all of this in his head, knowing that the other person does not know him. Yes. But he holds on to it. And that what makes him perfect for a long distance relationship. If we're
the
going
way
to talk
he was,
about that,
the way he was hoping for, he was so patient. Mm-hmm. He's so patient. Like, he doesn't seize the moment. He just waits for a slot, you know, like,
yes,
like a place he can squeeze himself into. And he was like literally so excited to have like this time with her in Norway. and then poor guy, like, there was this quote at the very end, you were single at last, I hoped that all the fresh air and fjords would go to your head and I'd finally be able to make a move. And then I was like, oh my god, this whole time, poor guy.
Yes.
He was waiting and waiting and waiting, and this girl Jane, haram aleiki. Please, Have mercy on the guy and give him a chance. Like just
how
open
did she
your
not
eyes.
Notice how he was prickly around Philip and like,
It's always, we always want what's
it's
bad for us.
It's always the quiet ones.
It's always the quiet ones.
In the end. Things started to get serious after Philip showed his hand. It started to get serious, not journalistically wise, but romantically. Like, they started having these talks about how would you know that he's your mate or he's the one. And Jane had this feeling about Ben, but she wanted to make sure this time before leaping into, like,
yes,
her instinct,
yes,
you
yes.
know?
Yeah.
Like, she...
I mean,
things happened to her. She wanted to make sure before going into this.
You know, we had this quote concerning what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Natasha, at the end, she said, Natasha pointed an elegant finger at her, which wavered only slightly. I can answer that. Commitment, she said, firmly. Security, that sort of rubbish. You wanted all that stuff, and so he projected it into the Simon fellow, whether he could give it to you or not. So it's like, what I thought it was funny that Natasha should be the one to answer that question,
mm-hmm.
but I figured she has a point, you know? And it's freaking scary, mate. It's freaking
yeah, it
scary.
Is.
I was like, I read that sentence, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yes, it Uh-oh. Is scary. It goes back to the uncertainty. So even if I have someone, then I don't have someone because, like, he's not real, even if he's real, you know? Like, we're not talking you have someone that you're attracted to and you're keeping him in your head. We're talking you're already with this someone, but, like, you're in love with the idea of him, not him, you know?
I guess it's like, there's this other quote that Thomas was saying. He said, there is a lesson in our story, mine and Merritt's, that when it comes to love, it is better to act, not to bury love under a chimney breast for decades. He tapped her shoulder lightly. Seize the day, Jane.
And she did not.
And she didn't. No, it was, you know, a kind of a wisdom from an old man who was like, has this idea of love. And he himself kind of tried to seize the day, but he failed. Mm. You know, he went back to Norway. He went back to that city where she lived in the island and looked for her, but he couldn't find her. So I guess he gave it a chance, but he didn't. He failed at it, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess he had to live with that. But Jane is still young. She still has the opportunity to seize the day, and she didn't. But that's not the point. The point is that once you seize the day, you should be confident in your decision, you know?
Yes.
You should be convinced that what you did is the right thing.
Yes.
So even though you dated a guy like Simon, for example, just... see it as a chapter of your life that went by. See it as a lesson, you know, not to repeat the freaking same mistake again,
mm-hmm.
not to go to Norway and then go and date someone exactly like your ex. Not date per se, but I mean, like,
yeah.
do stupid things, you know?
Well, like,
it's like, look for the good. Look for a Ben. Look for the Ben.
Look at him. I mean, at the ball, when they had their Cinderella moment and their eyes caught it when she was going down the stairs. And
yeah.
Like, I thought, why didn't she just go to him? I mean, why did she have to take a tour of the whole damn ball? And, like,
I don't know.
He's the highlight of the thing, Aslan. So why didn't she just go to him? But I think she's scared. Seize the day, Jane. That takes courage.
Yes.
Courage more than a soldier going into battle or an astronaut going to visit the moon. It needs courage. Your life.
It needs trust. It needs, because it takes two to tango, you know?
Yeah. By the way, yes, even if you know that he's the one you want, he's the one for you.
You need to trust that he
believes the same.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, exactly.
It takes two to tango.
You need to be on the same page, you know?
Exactly.
You need to want the same things in life.
And
you need to be respectful of each other. And Simon wasn't that, and Philip wasn't that either. They just thought about themselves. And I was so pissed when Simon wanted her back.
Yes!
I was like, oh my god, my blood was boiling. I was like, wait a minute, why are we back here again?
Can I bury him?
Like, literally, I'm not going to say this out loud, but look at my reaction when I got to that point. Wait, like, literally. Thank you. I mean, let's just say that vulgar language was used. But seriously, I was so pissed off. Like, Simon in the middle of the rain and knocking on her door. And like, seriously, do you think this is going to be like a kissing in the rain moment? No, thank you.
You're desperate, man.
You're drunk and you don't know what you want in life. Really.
Anyway, I found this thing that I highlighted. I think that I know you at once awfully well and not at all. This sentence. Like, I think it's like a thing when you crush on someone, you feel like you know them and like you're sort of watching them, you know? So you know them, but then you don't.
Yeah.
You know, I think that reflects that. She's on an island, he's somewhere doing things, and she just knew him
for a short period of time.
So she knew a part of him that she felt like, yeah, she knows him, but she doesn't. They haven't lived with each other.
Yeah.
In a different situation where there isn't an imminent danger and yes. There is a mission at hand and like the normal life, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, like they don't know each other's like tics or perks or like everyday
or habits,
life.
Or everyday life
or chores or like whatever, or habits. You
or
know?
Habits. Like, it's like Margot and things. It's like Margot and her wife with like.
Yes.
She said something about at the beginning, I didn't see that, but after 6 years of marrying, I saw yes, that and like, yes. I still like her. You know, it's this. Yes, you know this. You feel like you know this person, but.
You should even love them at their worst, you know?
Yeah. And also.
By the way, yeah.
There was this brave thing about Merit of. Like, when Jane thought, and no, these were love letters, not spying letters. She said, and no, if Merit had laid herself open to love, if she had written to a man she hardly knew for years, then couldn't Jane also take a chance? Shouldn't Ben? I mean, he likes Jane for all this time.
Do something about it.
Yes, take a chance. Why are you... I mean, he's scared and this is scary. I keep saying that. It is scary. But like, when it's in a novel, it's safe.
Like literally, Philip had no right, or they weren't a couple, you know? Ben had the ability to like swoop in and just, you know, woo her or... try to like make her see him at least, you know? She didn't even consider him as a partner, you know? She didn't even see him that way until later on, you know? By coincidence even, you know? And it wasn't until Philip was gone that he pursued her, but it's like, dude, they're not a couple. You're allowed to pursue her. This is, and you know Philip is a bad guy. Why don't you just tell her how you feel?
Yes, and I mean he thinks she's happy, so he wants her to be happy. But like, you know, you see, she doesn't.
He knows, you know? She's not happy. She literally was left in the middle of the snow.
No drift.
With hypothermia and a sprained ankle. Like, literally. That. And imagine if he had stepped in earlier. Maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Or if he had stood by her side when they said that they don't need a guide to get them back to the hotel. If he would have stood by her side, Philip maybe would have, like, fake, would have said, yeah, yeah, I'm going to go back to the hotel and get someone. Ben would have stood by her and sat next to her and waited, you know? Yeah. He wouldn't have left her behind. That's literally the moment where I thought, where's Ben? Come on.
Yes. Where's Ben?
Where's Ben?
I'm sure Ben? He's going to swoop Ben. And then when they're like, a voice told me, blah, 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 it was Natasha. I'm like, Where's Ben?
And then when she said, don't leave me, don't worry, I'm not going to go anyway.
That was, by the way, a moment. We had this moment in another story.
I don't remember.
Was it Peeta and Katniss?
I don't know.
Or who? Someone didn't want someone to go.
Yeah, and they didn't.
It was Peeta and Katniss and Mockingjay, I think.
Where? I think it was when she had the nightmare. She woke up. In the middle of the night, he went into her room and she said, can you stay with me? Or, like,
maybe
don't go. She said, and don't go. And
he was like, always. Something like, oh, is it? It's another. Always. There was another story where the... Huh.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I can't either. But, like, I have it. It's...
it's right. I've seen this with your tongue. Yeah. I guess if we're going to talk about... If we're going to keep talking about the theme of relationships... there's this quote right at the in the very last chapter. She and Ben lived out their romance in the margins of time differences and jet lag and snatched days. Safe. Her new life was not, but it felt exactly right. You know, I just love the balance that they found. You know, like this pure modern relationship where no one has to compromise, no one has to sacrifice anything in order for them, each one of them, to be happy, you know?
Mm.
Usually you would think that a relationship like that would never work. I mean, of course, we're like the 2020, and you know, like, relationships have taken everything. Like, we have social media and we have the internet, and you know, it's easy to continue a relationship these days, but you know, it's nothing like being with someone for real, you know. And I just love the modern twist that they made, you know, like, they didn't have this kind of compromise at the end. Like, they each knew what they wanted and they still stayed together despite of it, you know? Like, they didn't say, no, this is never gonna work, we're always gonna be apart, so let's break up, let's, you know, like, let's find other people that we can be with who can actually be with us. No, they just, like, these were obstacles that they had to overcome to be together, you know? And I love how balanced their relationship is, you know? This give and take. And it's like...
But I keep thinking, it's just in the beginning.
Exactly.
What if they want to have a family?
Yeah, what I know.
If, I don't know, they want but to settle somewhere. But it didn't sound
like Jane was going to have children anytime soon.
Yeah, but like, when she wants children.
Yeah.
Or when they're tired. Ooh, and want gonna to settle. That's going to get messy. Or like,
that's
when,
gonna get
when one of them, something happened in their career and they're suddenly stuck somewhere.
But you know, Ben worked as a photographer and photographers are always on the go.
Yeah.
Even journalists. Journalists are always chasing another article and they follow leads by traveling to different cities and interviewing other people. And it's not always over the internet. I guess journalists like to do it face to face. I guess, but
yeah.
I know these days everything is modernized and it can be easier, but I guess for Jane, she really wanted to pursue that one type of journalism, I guess.
So,
yeah.
The title.
It's weird that we're leaving the title to the very end, but you know.
Yeah, we got carried away.
So we wanted to ask the question of what is a gift in December to you? As in the gift, the word gift, what does it stand for to you? Like, what did you get out of this novel as a gift, mm-hmm. you know?
And the events that happened, you mean?
Yeah.
Other than the obvious thing that the gift is the tree from yeah. Norway to
other
London.
Than the obvious okay. one, yeah.
Yeah. Ben.
Ben.
I mean, finding her actual need, not want, like realizing that.
Yeah.
I always love this in the character arc where like the character finally realizes their needs, not what they want and set out to do. And
the difference between it. Yeah.
So she needed someone who would give her this balance of life, who would understand, who would like her. And
for who she is.
For who she is, exactly. And like her mate, basically. She needed to find her mate, not just be in a relationship or get a breakup out of her system or whatever. Like, I guess.
Yeah.
And the people she met. She met the sort of people she wouldn't meet in
exactly
her normal daily life.
Yeah,
she's
a
journalist in the news section, I mean, or like this part.
So she met Sandra and
Natasha.
Freddie. Natasha. Thomas. She
Alice,
wouldn't normally. No.
I don't know. No.
She wouldn't normally like meet a person like Thomas, for example.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, I guess for me, a gift in December is... Gosh, I didn't really think about it till now. I just thought of the question. You know? Okay, I guess for me, it's seeing the gift for me is knowing that we are kind of protected from those kinds of mishaps, you know? Mm-hmm. Through our religion, through our culture, through our, you know, like we don't have one night stands and we don't have boyfriends or flings on the side, you know, we know that what we want is going to be something real, and we know that once we commit, it's going to be something true, and it's gonna last forever, inshallah. And you know, I felt like the sense of I couldn't relate even the slightest, you know, like the advice that Margaret Jane's best friend, what was her name again?
Margot.
She gave her, like, get it out of your system, like, the hot tub thing. Like, seriously, that's, like, the worst advice you can give to a best friend. That's, what I would give an advice to my best friend is, like, chill, go to Norway, like, take a book, read, just don't talk to anyone, and just, you know, relax. Literally, relax. Oh, Thomas wants you to go find another person? No, sweetie, you're just gonna go chill in the hot tub with no guys, be by yourself, and just, you know, just find inner peace. You know, that's how you get a breakup out of your system. Not with another guy. And finding a way to be comfortable on your own, you know? Like, I feel like Jane was jumping from one guy to the other very quickly, and I felt like there was no space in between where she felt a way of being in at peace with herself, you know?
You should she was at peace with herself before Simon. She was, like...
Before Simon, but I mean after Simon, you know, like, filling this emptiness, you know? Mm. Like, since you had a boyfriend, you feel like you can't see yourself without a boyfriend. So she's, like, looking for anything that moves, basically, you know? Oh, you're a male? Yeah, come over here. You're like, Simon? Ooh, I like you even more. You know? And that's, like, my gift in December, you know? Like, feeling that I can't relate to any of this. You know?
Okay, fine.
But I mean, like, knowing that I want to find someone who's like Ben, you know? Like, someone who's on your level, someone who can enjoy the things you love, someone who can bond with you over things. And they don't find you in any way intimidating or want to have you, like, beneath them to make themselves feel better, mm-hmm. or get in your way to, like, eliminate your success, or just basically make themselves look better than you, you know? Someone who's equal to you. Someone who is your mate for life, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's literally a gift, you know? Forget the tree. Literally, forget the tree.
I mean,
the tree's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So, if you have this someone, appreciate it, cherish it. Don't take it for granted.
Don't. Never.
And if you don't,
he will come one day.
Or she will come.
And if you don't want it,
then he won't come one day. Halas.
If you want to be emerit, travel the world and like do your own thing.
Yeah. Embrace life. You know, just take it as it is. You know, don't force anything. Just take it moment by moment. Yeah. You know?
We hope you enjoyed this long, long episode.
We had fun recording it. We hope you had fun listening. And we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for making it till the end of this chapter. I wonder if this chat has warmed your heart as this book did warm ours. This was our last winter-themed book this December. Next, finally, the time has come to start releasing one of our favorite series, A Court of Thorns and Roses. It's a great story to start the new year with. We have no doubt about that. My name is Haneen. Mark the page for chapter 9.